It's not about you. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? What did you do with what I gave you? God waits for you to act first. Did you put Jesus at the center of your life? Did you develop his character? Did you devote your life to serving others? Did you communicate his message and fulfill his mission? Did you love and participate in his family? These are the only issues that will count.
I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me.
Me talking a little bit about the man you just heard. No, not the country western singer, but Rick Warren. A lot about you in Warren's theology. I often say that pop Christianity today does a lot of preaching of the Christian rather than the Christ. And we're going to find out here in the first hour what it's like to talk with Rick Warren, who has been until very recently, I think, the brightest light in American evangelicalism and pop American Christianity. Our guest here in the first hour on Issues, Etc., Chris Roseborough, had a conversation recently and a visit face-to-face with Rick Warren and a personal invitation to visit one of his conferences at Saddleback Community Church. Of course, Rick Warren is the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, and some have called him the next Billy Graham. We'll be talking about that here in the first half hour of the program. Second half hour, Craig Parton joins us, regular guest here on the program, author of the book, The Defense Never Rests, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. We'll talk about evangelical style and Lutheran substance. And then, second hour of the program, we're going to be talking with a representative of the Presbyterian layman. You might have heard about this on the news, that the Presbyterian Church USA has decided, in effect, now that's a big qualification, but in effect, to approve the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy. And then, last part of the program today, Greg Kokel joins us to talk about one of his favorite subjects, although I imagine it's one he doesn't have a lot of affinity for personally, relativism. Your truth, my truth, it's all relative. That's the lineup for today's Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California. He's author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com. I do recommend you visit it. He's president of Pirate Christian Radio. Chris, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Todd, thanks for having me back on your new and improved show.
And thank you for coming on. Chris, you sat down face-to-face with the Rick Warren recently.
Yes, I did.
What was the first question that you had for Pastor Warren?
Well, actually, it was more having to do with a question that he had for me, because I was invited there, and he was gracious enough to have me as his guest at his Purpose-Driven Community Conference, and he invited several of his detractors, his internet critics, to come and attend the conference. And so his first question for me really was, you know, what's my main beef? What do I consider this to be my argument with him and what he's doing? That was his question for me. And my answer was plain and simple. I said, Pastor Rick, I said, this is real simple. I said, when it comes to purpose-driven preaching, I said, this is really a battle for the gospel. And it has to do a lot with what I heard him say and what I've heard him what I've researched about him over the past few years, and that is that the gospel is conspicuously missing from his preaching.
Okay, make it clear what you say is missing there, because that term, the gospel,
mm-hmm.
is a wax nose in Christianity.
Right.
What is it that you find conspicuously absent from Rick Warren's teaching and preaching?
Really simple. In his explanation for what purpose-driven preaching was, Pastor Rick Warren made it very clear that he believes that that purpose-driven preaching is to preach for obedience and to preach for repentance. And so I told Pastor Rick very, very plainly, I said, Pastor Rick, you're wrong. Preaching is not for obedience, and it's not for repentance. And the reason why you're wrong is because you're only half right. Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 24, in Luke's version of the Great Commission, Jesus says that that they are to go and preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And I said, Pastor Rick, you preach repentance. You're always preaching the law, but what I never hear from you is the forgiveness of sins. And he said, well, can you give me an example? I said, I'd be happy to give you an example. I said, in 2007, on your Fox News Christmas special, you took out time to broadcast on Fox News, and you said that Jesus Christ came to earth to give us a mulligan and to give us a do-over. I said, but since we both play golf, you understand and I understand that if I'm given a mulligan, I still have to tee up the ball and I still have to hit the ball on the fairway. And if I miss after missing a mulligan, then, you know, I've got to suffer the consequences. I said, Jesus Christ didn't come to give us a do-over. And the one thing I never hear you really clearly say is that Jesus Christ shot the perfect round for us and is giving us his scorecard and his righteousness. I basically said, you're constantly preaching for obedience, but what I never hear is the forgiveness of sins.
Is it a different gospel that Warren is purveying?
Now, this is I'm going to say this is not... Answering this question is not as straightforward as you and I might like it to be. I would say that Rick Warren understands what the gospel is, and he even says that he's a type of Calvinist. He says he's a Kuyper Calvinist. Kuyper is, you know, being he's a Dutch reformer. And so he understands what the gospel is, but the problem is that he doesn't really understand the means of grace, and what's conspicuously missing is this concept that a Christian, somebody who confesses Jesus as their Lord and Savior, needs to hear the forgiveness of sins. The gospel is relegated to something that you do when you make a decision for Jesus, and after that, it's get to work, get busy. Here's five steps that you can apply to, you know, to make your life better, to make your children happier, to be more successful at work, and nary do you hear anything about Christ forgiving you of your sins. And I told him straight up, I said, Pastor Warren, every time you preach a sermon like that, and I gave an example of a sermon that he preached on time management, I said, you know, I'm a constant procrastinator, and when you preach about time management, it's not just good advice that you're giving me. What you're doing is you're nailing me to the wall, because of all the times that I haven't managed my time properly, I realize that if God really expects me to do these things, my problem is that I don't. So you know your good advice doesn't even come close to comforting me, because in telling me that I have to do these things, it becomes clear that I haven't.
I'm always curious about the symptom and the cause, and I wonder if the symptom is that Rick Warren isn't preaching the gospel. You said he knows it, but he doesn't preach it. In fact, he goes so far as to say, if I heard you correctly, that really the heart and center of the Christian faith and the purpose of Christian preaching is to produce obedience rather than faith.
And that's what he said, not me. That's straight out of the purpose-driven preaching lecture.
If this is the case, then, that symptom, what is the cause? Is it that Rick Warren knows the gospel but considers its place in Christian theology something or somewhere else than the center, the formative, determinative center of the Christian faith?
I like to tell people that there's a... that all theologies have a center, and I call it three-dimensional theology. That's what I told my class. I teach at Faith Lutheran in Capistrano Beach. And whereas, you know, we have as the center of our theology Christ and Him crucified, the center of His theology is the changed life. And so He's always preaching for life change. But the problem is that when you preach with that as your center, the gospel really has no practical usage for producing a changed life. I mean, that, you know, it just doesn't fit. It's like a puzzle piece that's missing. When you get a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, my wife likes to do these things. There's nothing worse than having a couple of pieces missing, or, you know, one that doesn't quite fit. The gospel doesn't fit into his theological puzzle.
But that's not a problem with the gospel. I mean, I don't want you to be understood or misunderstood as saying that the gospel is of no practical use in changing the lives of sinners, but it sounds as though if you assign it the place that Warren has assigned it in his theology, then it's kind of superfluous. It's good for getting you started, but not much good for you after that. Am I mischaracterizing?
No, that's a correct understanding of it. In fact, you know, I had an opportunity to meet face to face and discuss this issue with a member of Saddleback who's a guest on your show periodically, Richard Abanis. And And he doesn't understand. We have a fundamental difference in the understanding of the means of grace, and that the hearing the gospel is a means of grace, even though Romans 10:17 is clear that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's same thing with Rick Warren. It's this, once you know that God is gracious and merciful and loving, why do we need to keep dwelling on that and the forgiveness of sins? You know, let's get some practical steps to where we can see some progress in our sanctification is really the focus of purpose-driven preaching.
Well, that explains everything, Chris. In a nutshell, it really explains the whole thrust of the Warren theology. It explains why he seems so frustrated with Christians in general and their underproduction of good works. If the point of theology is the production of good works, if the point of preaching is the production of good works, if the point of being a Christian altogether is nothing more than the production of good works, there's never going to be enough, is there? You got 1 minute.
No, there never will be enough, because God demands not half obedience or a quarter obedience. A particular theologian I know wrote about this, but I... he really demands perfect obedience, and James is clear that if you've broken one of the commandments, you're guilty of breaking all of them. And Jesus says that even when you've done everything that you've been told to do, you're still a wicked servant, because you've only done what you've been told to do. So, I mean, their idea of obedience is kind of a weird thing. It's as if a half obedience somehow counts towards something, but the law doesn't allow that.
Well, we'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. Chris Roseborough's visit to a recent conference at Saddleback Community Church and his face-to-face with Rick Warren. After this, on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues, Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues, Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the entire staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues, Etc. back. Pastor Nathan Raddatz, Matthew Carver, Pastor Ralph Abernathy III, Pastor Kurt Herring, Pastor Larry Ritter, Pastor Michael Cum, Dustin Fry, Bethany Tanis, Pastor Todd Peppercorn, and Josie Brady. Thanks for your support.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me.
Well, now it all makes perfect sense to me. I've been wondering for years why it is that in the Warren theology that is so popular, it doesn't make any difference what kind of church you belong to. It could be Presbyterian, Baptist, some Roman Catholic, of course Lutheran. The purpose-driven life swept through Lutheranism like a wildfire. You'll hear this kind of preaching that is all about the Christian and very little about the Christ. And Jesus is brought alongside simply to help you, to be of service to you, not in his perfect life, death, and resurrection for you as Savior, but in service to you as an advisor, a consultant, a life coach. Now, I've wondered for years, how have you gotten from we preach Christ and him crucified to we preach the Christian and give Jesus the week off? And Chris has cleared this up for me in the last segment of Issues, etc. It's the place to which you assign the cross of Jesus Christ. If it's just a part of your theology and not the center of your theology, it doesn't make any difference how well you know the gospel. If you consider the gospel largely irrelevant to the substance of Christianity, then you will end up with a Christianity that's about the Christian and not about the Christ. Chris Roseborough is our guest. You can join us, by the way. We'll take your live email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Chris Roseborough is author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com, president of Pirate Christian Radio, and he attended a recent conference at Saddleback Community Church and then, by Rick Warren's invitation, had a personal consultation with Rick. Chris, what about this passage where Jesus talks about the mission of the church, in essence? And he says that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name. Yep. That's not just repentance and obedience. That's repentance and the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm. The issue here is it's repentance in his name. It's forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name also. It's both. And if you're only going to preach half the equation, then what you're doing is that you're basically setting up a religion that's similar to what the Pharisees practiced in the time of Christ. You got a bunch of good people who are applying steps that they can do to make their lives better, or at least seem more holy and righteous on the outside. But as Jesus describes the Pharisees, they're whitewashed sepulchers. You know, they look good on the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. It's the same here. If all you're going to do is preach obedience, you're going to produce Pharisees. But Christ didn't say to go out and preach the law. He said to go out and preach the gospel, which includes both law and gospel, because there's two words from God there. The one condemns and the other comforts. And what's conspicuously missing in a church that has its preaching philosophy, preaching in order to teach people to be obedient, is that it overlooks the fact that none of us is, and that we need to hear the gospel in order for us to hear the good news that God is merciful and loving and is extending to us a full pardon because in the name of Christ, by Christ, through Christ. It's about him, not us. His religion makes it all about me and my progress, and somehow I can tabulate this down, put it in an Excel spreadsheet, and say, hey, look at all the progress that I've made because of how obedient I am by applying all the principles that I've learned at Saddleback or other purpose-driven churches.
Well, Chris, where inevitably will that lead, in spite of all the promises that are made by the purpose-driven movement? Where does this focus on self, one's own progress, tabulating and measuring one's own progress and results, where does it lead?
Well, my mentor Rosenblatt, Dr. Rosenblatt, has a great point, and I've lived it myself, and it's real simple. You either fool yourself into thinking that you're pulling it off and that somehow God is favorably disposed towards you because of how holy and righteous and good you're being. The converse of that is that if you mess up and you feel like something's gone bad in your life, then God is frowning on you and is punishing you and is against you because of some unconfessed sin or some sin that you've committed in your life. Or you walk away from the faith, or in a worst-case scenario, you commit suicide because there's no hope for you in a system like this. Because if you're really honest with yourself, the more you really examine God's word and what it is that the law demands of us, the more you realize you don't keep it, regardless of how long you've been in the faith.
Which one is Rick? Is he the self-satisfied, I'm pulling it off, or is he the despairing, I think I'm slipping, I think I'm falling?
I'm going to be, I want to say this, and I want people to understand, I'm saying this really trying to be charitable here. I'm not trying to be unloving or uber judgmental, but as somebody who listens to all of Rick Warren's sermons, the one thing I can definitively say is that, man, he talks about himself a lot. And my speculation, based upon the fact that when he's preaching, he talks about himself and the things that he's done and all this kind of stuff, I think Rick actually thinks that he's pulling it off.
Well, okay, That makes me sad, to tell you the truth, because then I think we're looking at someone who is... it's difficult to say that someone who says, I'm pulling this off, I am able to do all this, cannot stand before a group, large groups of people like he is, presenting himself as the example to be followed. But, you know, Rick Warren, his theology supports that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, we can't fault him for being consistent with his own, even his own erred theology. What about those whose theology would or should have them know better than to say or to stand up in front of their congregations and say, in essence, hey, I'm pulling this off and I'm here to show you how to do it?
Well, let's say that there's a congregation that should know better. For instance, maybe a Lutheran congregation that's flirting with purpose-driven, the 40 days of purpose.
Well, how about not maybe a Lutheran congregation? Let's just make it a Lutheran congregation.
This theology is incompatible with Lutheranism. It's incompatible with the with Lutheranism as a whole.
And yet we find pastors standing in Lutheran pulpits, or it doesn't even have to be Lutheran. It could also be other branches of the Reformation that should know better. They stand in these pulpits. They preach sermons that, in essence, are, I am pulling it off. Let me show you how to do it. And it's that week in and week out.
Yes, it is. And at that point, you know, my question is, what is it that makes that congregation distinctly Lutheran? I see more in common with Rome with that type of preaching than I do with the Confessions of the Lutheran Faith.
Explain that.
The Confessions of the Lutheran Faith are really simple. It's about Christ. Christ is the center. It's about justification by grace alone, through faith alone. And it's not about preaching stark, naked obedience. It's about preaching Christ and Him crucified. It's about preaching the law to kill and condemn and to ferret out sins and expose people to just how sinful and rotten they are, and then comforting with the words of the gospel. This is found throughout the entire, the confessions of the Lutheran faith in the Book of Concord. So, you know, this is not compatible. Purpose-drivenism is a form of pietism. It's not compatible with the Lutheran faith. And because I believe that the Lutheran confessions are correct interpretation of scriptures, I would say that pietism and purpose-drivenism, which are one and the same in my mind, the purpose-driven preaching is not compatible with the Christian faith at all, because it is a form of Christianity, ultimately, that doesn't need Christ.
What surprised you most in your experience at the Saddleback Conference, at Rick's personal invitation, or about your conversation with Rick? About a minute to respond.
Whew, what surprised me the most? I got to admit that in all of my research, I guess the thing that surprised me was that Rick was exactly who, in person, what he seems to be on stage. If you've listened to a Rick Warren sermon or seen a video of him, he's exactly the same way in person that he is, that what you see is. So with him, it's what you see is what you get. The surprise was that there were no surprises. He's very likable, extremely smart, extremely intelligent, and very wrong.
Before we let you go, tell us a little bit about Pirate Christian Radio.
Well, Pirate Christian Radio is a new radio station. It's available online at piratechristianradio.com, and we are basically in the process of building a stable offering of good Christ-centered programming. And you're not going to get pop psychology, self-help. You're not going to get stark naked obedience. You're going to hear Christ crucified for our sins in all of the programming that we're putting together. And the nice thing about it is we don't chase after the latest fads in order to try to make a buck. You know, our offering to our people is to, you know, that listen to us, is to hear Christ and Him crucified from different types of programs and different types of people, including Issues, etc., which is really our flagship program right now on Pirate Christian Radio.
So it's old theology, new media.
That's correct. At the risk of sounding odd here, it's a Lutheran attempt at being relevant. No, I'm kidding. We're not really.
Well, that will never be. You know it will never.
No, I dare not chase after relevance. But it is using the new technology that's available to us to get the message of Christ crucified for our sins out.
Chris Roseborough received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California. He's author of the blog Extreme Theology. He's president of Pirate Christian Radio. You can visit and you can listen, more importantly, at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Thanks for Pirate Christian Radio, and thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
I said before it made me sad to hear that Pastor Warren really does think he's pulling it off. The five purposes. He's doing it. Would he say he's doing it perfectly? No. Of course he wouldn't. He said he would sin daily. He would fall short of the five purposes every day. But see, that's the problem. If you're going to live according to the law, it's got to be perfect. It can't be less than perfect. But faith says something else. Faith says Christ's perfection counts for me from beginning to end. We'll be right back to talk about Lutheran style and evangelical substance, or is it the other way around? I always get them confused. Stay tuned.
It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsors section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the entire staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Michael Rose, Christopher Martin, Jeremy Costello, Pastor Ryan Fouts, Steve Renfro, John Draheim, Scott Larkins, Cheryl Kirchhoff, Richard Scott, and David Ramirez. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.